Blog Talk Radio.
Foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Hey, this is Coach from Survivor 18, 20, and 23. You're listening to Dragon Slayer Radio here on the Rad Reality Show. Join us every Thursday as we dissect Survivor One World episode by episode. You can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-237-5506 and let's play this thing together.
Hello, everyone. It's the Rad Reality Show, and we're going to get started in a second. What a night, what a night. I am so excited about this show. A great Survivor show. Coach Wade's going to be joining us tonight.
It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is.
It all comes down to this.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Hi, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for being here tonight on Dragon Slayer Radio. Today is May 17, 2012. This is, sadly, our last episode of Dragon Slayer Radio for the season, but as you know, we usually always save the best for last, so I'm sure tonight's show is going to be a blast. My name is Cherry Garcia, and we also have on the line with us Mr. Paul from Minnesota, will be your co-host for tonight. How are you doing, Paul?
Excited, Cherry. How about you?
I'm so looking forward to tonight's show. We've got a great lineup for tonight, and I'm sure it's going to be one of the best. We also have on the line with us the star and host of our show, the man who makes Dragon Slayer Radio possible, Mr. Coach Wade. How are you tonight?
I am fantastic. Yes, it is the Dragon Slayer, Coach himself here. With Dragon Slayer Radio. Great to be here. Great to have all the hosts here. And let's get cracking, shall we?
I'm looking forward to it.
So this is our last night. You know, we just, the first season, so to speak, it was like a pilot for Dragon Slayer Radio. We have survived the youth orchestras and the concert nights and me having to bail early and shift the time around, and it's been a successful pilot season for Dragon Slayer Radio. The good news is that we've been picked up for our first official full season for this fall. We'll get started probably a week or two before Survivor starts. That way everybody that's kind of chomping at the bit, ready to discuss all things Survivor, will start before the season Philippines actually starts up. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to working with you, Cherry, and Paul, and doing another season. We're going to do it bigger and better than this one. And let's just get started. I mean, you know, we had the finale this last week. Obviously, if you're listening to the show, you're a fan of Survivor. Obviously, you know that Kim won the $1 million prize. I had picked her to be one of the favorites back, you know, 8 episodes ago on Dragon Slayer Radio, when I said she's running the show. She really was one of the few people that was running the show, and you kind of knew when she was scheming. It was her and maybe Colton early on. They were really the only two strategists that we saw. And then, yep. You know, Kim emerges as a leader. And the only question really going down the stretch was the boot order and whether or not the girls were going to get smart and listen to Troy Vann, or if the girls were going to get smart and vote off the biggest threat, who was Kim. And they failed to do that. Of course, it didn't hurt that Kim got on a hot immunity streak.
Wow.
Towards the end. It was pretty impressive. I mean, really, when you look at the game that she played and making people feel comfortable, when you look at the exit interviews from players like Chelsea, they said the same thing that they said kind of about me. Why didn't you get rid of these players? Why didn't you get rid of Kim? Why didn't you get rid of Coach? And the answer was, I felt so comfortable the whole time I was in the game. The mark of a good leader like Kim is to make those people under her feel safe and secure until the moment that you cut their throat. So really, Kim played a textbook case of Survivor, and without question, she deserved the money. I know we've got guests tonight, so I'm just going to run down and just kind of give you my quick thoughts on that final episode. It was very interesting for me to go through that episode. I'm going to tell you, I have yet to watch my final episode and the final tribal of the season that I was on, and where I came in second. In fact, I haven't watched any of them.
Really?
No, I haven't. I mean, I don't go back and watch it. I don't go back and watch it. I feel like that's living in the past. When I got back, what most people don't know, what the listener doesn't know, and all the people that are on Survivor, like our guests know, you know, you sit backstage and you're watching the episode in a green room. Then they shuffle you to on stage. So right when you're making your speech for the $1 million, we're backstage and we really can't hear what's going on. And then they shuffle us out onto the stage. So that's why I say I've yet to see it. I don't know what the edit is. But watching the final tribal council and those final episodes, I had a serious nostalgia slash maybe regret slash, you know, like it's always that question, what could I have done different? I tend to block those out of my mind, but watching that episode, it was pretty tough for me, and I kind of got into a weird place during the episode, and I talked to my wife, Jessica, and I was just like, I'm just not in a good place. I think I actually need to go back and watch the episode that I was in to see if there was something that I could have done differently. Right about that time, Kat steps up and says, in her mind, basically, I hate you bitches, but on the outside, she said, you know what? I really appreciate it. I love it, whatever she said. My hat's off to you. She took the magnanimous approach. It was kind of the David Murphy approach, where it was like, you know what? I want to talk about who deserves to win Survivor. And when I saw Kat do that, it made me think of Ozzy, the narcissistic, sycophantic, misogynist guy that I know called Ozzy. It made me remember his speech, which was, screw Coach, he's not a man of honor, integrity, we're not going to give him the vote. If Kat had been on my jury in the place of Ozzy, if David Murphy had been on my jury in the place of Ozzy, I would have won a landslide. What you have to remember is that when the best person doesn't win, you have to look at the jury and say either they were a bunch of clowns or you had one person that was seriously swaying the jury. So my impressions of that final tribal when I saw Kat speak was like, oh, wait a second. That's what I didn't have in my jury was compassion. Now, tonight is not about me. I'm done talking about me. I want to introduce our first guest. I had the opportunity to go out to dinner with David Murphy and Russell and another player from their season. And as I talked to David, and just smart as a tack. I believe it was actually either right before the season that he was on. It was right before. It wasn't during. It was right before. So I got to watch. One of the privileges of that season for me was to watch David, knowing that I had just met him, and then all of a sudden you're obviously pulling for that, you know, for that character. And so I met David, smart as a whip. He's a lawyer, a great guy. We had a great dinner, and I've obviously seen him at, you know, at the functions, the finale. He's engaged, which we'll get into, with a fellow castmate that played with me, Carolina, from season 18. Anyway, without further ado, let's welcome David to the show. How are you doing, David?
David, thank you
well.
So much
thank
for joining
you.
Us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I want to start off by asking you this, David. Tell me, I want to know, because we've kind of talked about it a little bit in texting and this and that, but I want to know, I want to go back to your season, and you're the kind of player that can go out there and play and make it all the way to the end. Let's start by just kind of giving the listener a 30-second recap of kind of what happened in your season and what led to your demise.
Well, it's actually very, very simple. I was put on a tribe where I was a target from the very beginning, being thrust out on the island into a suit didn't necessarily bode well for me. And then it was kind of funny. When I saw Russell, he and I made eye contact the moment he got off the helicopter, and he just chuckled. And at the moment that he chuckled, I leaned to Sarita that was standing next to me at the time when she and I were still amicable, and I told her, at least we know who to get off first. And so the first person that I made friends with after that was Russell, intentionally, to be able to play both sides of it. And then after he got off, it became a situation where I was in a tribe with a bunch of people that I actually like all of them very much. However, they did not see the real point of the game. They were there making friends with one another while I was there trying to figure out how to tolerate everyone in order to allay their fears for the time being in order to get rid of them when the time came. It obviously didn't work out in the end, primarily because of how talented Rob is and how well he was able to play everyone on his team and to brainwash them. I made more efforts than the television presented in terms of trying to get the girls, for the most part, to understand that you are sitting here making yourself the next victim. You can make a move, you can determine your own fate, or you can let Rob determine yours. And none of them, I don't want to say had the courage to do anything about it, but I think he had convinced all of them to be complacent with their six making it to the end. And then after that, wherever we finish is fine. And, I mean, hats off to Rob. I don't think there's anyone that would argue he played the best, if not a perfect game. You know, there was no flaw in what he did.
True, absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about, you hit the nail right on the head when you said originally that they were out there kind of like to make friends. It's amazing because it almost seems as if it's either, you know, an epidemic that spreads when people are just not playing the game, but it seems that seasons or tribes either have a lot of people that are trying to play the game or they have nobody that's trying to play the game, and you scratch your head thinking, you know, wow, you know, somebody like a Ralph that literally is clueless about the gameplay. It just, you really have to wonder if it really was like that, and obviously it was really like that on your scene.
Well, it was. Everybody was so one-dimensional in that part of it. They were playing a social game very well with absolutely no strategy. I, on the other hand, was trying to find the balance of the two, which is very difficult when you're playing the game with people that have so much invested in principle and trying to do the right thing. This game is not about doing the right thing. This game is about winning $1 million. And, I mean, in your little introduction there, Coach, you hit the nail on the head. You should have won. And without tooting my own horn, had I been there, you would have.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, had I not been on the season where Rob was, going into the conversations that I had with people prior to the jury, I don't think Rob would have won, because a lot of the people, given my background and my profession, a lot of the people came to me asking how to present their arguments, how to make their questions. And most of them were negative to Rob. And I think the one, well, aside from my speech, I think the one thing that went in Rob's favor was neither Natalie or Philip presented any sort of legitimate argument. Both of their arguments said Rob should win.
All right. I have a quick question here, Coach and David. This is Paul. You kind of touched on it, but how much jury finagling is going on amongst people? Because you mentioned, Coach, you had a sense that there was some of that going on, you know, amongst the people in Ponderosa. Is there a lot of that going on?
Yeah, David, that's for you, right, David?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm more than happy to answer that. I don't know that there's so much finagling. When people came to me asking, you know, how to do this, how to do that, how to say this, I was 100% objective with it. They were there to make up their own mind. Going into it, they had all asked me what I was going to do, and I was very vague about it for a reason, because I didn't want to present something that would taint someone's opinion before I actually made the speech, because I wanted everybody to make their own pitch at that point. And if my presentation persuaded anyone, I wanted it to be based on that, not based on what I said to them outside of it, and I didn't want to make it as if I was framing someone's questions or someone's arguments. And most of what I said actually was said before I said it. And a lot of what I said actually was edited out, because it was relatively duplicative from not only the questions that were asked, but the statements that were made by Natalie and Philip. I mean, it was very, very clear cut. And I think that carries over into this season, in the sense that had Sabrina or Chelsea actually stepped up to the plate and made an argument for themselves, which I don't think either of them did very well, I think we could have seen a different outcome, because I think both of them could have presented it in a way, especially Sabrina, where she played a passive role. I mean, I know she mentioned it a little bit, but I think she could have really played it up to the sense that almost the argument that I thought Philip should have made, that I made all of you think I was useless. And Sabrina's argument with that, well, it touched on it, but it didn't hammer it home. And then, I mean, Chelsea could have done the same thing. Chelsea could have said, you know what, I rode the coattails. I rode the coattails all the way, and you all think she's a bad person. You know why? Because she's the one that got rid of you. All I did was work hard and let her be the bad guy.
Right, right. I really was hoping, you know, when we saw that beginning of the segment where the sun's rising and Sabrina's out there watching the sunrise, and she sees, you know, wow, you know, she's talking about the inner city kids and stuff. If she would have saved that speech for Tribal, and if she would have just said, I want to take that magic moment, and I want to take this $1 million, and I want to help kids in the inner city, and maybe she said that, but we didn't see the edit, but I don't think she did. If she would have gotten emotional like that, man, they would have given her that in a landslide, I think.
You're exactly right. It's lightning in a bottle, and you can only catch it once.
That's good, yeah. What did you think about, let me ask you this, going back to the season, I'm going to just hit real quick all three seasons. When you were, people take the game so personally, and so what was different about you when you were on the jury that made you not take it personally, and you said, kind of like Cochran said, hey, don't, you know, the negative feelings, whatever, you got to give the vote to the man that deserves it. What allowed you to feel separate about that and not get it, not let your feelings get into it?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with what I do professionally. I mean, I'm a criminal defense attorney. I don't necessarily sympathize with the people that I represent, but I'm there to do a job. And my job is to put forth the best argument for the person that I'm representing.
Right.
Turning that into the survivor world, my argument on the jury is to figure out who I think should win and differentiate them from the other two. And
right.
I think that's what was lacking in your season, only because there was so much emotion involved in it. There's no room for emotion in this game. It's an infallibility based on the fact that it's a jury system, and the jury system is based on people. And so many people in this game get so wrapped up in the "you betrayed me, you stabbed me in the back," when in reality, what they should be thinking is, "you played me, you got
mm-hmm.
me, you
mm-hmm.
beat me." The first thing that happened when Rob got back to Ponderosa is, like, I walked up and started talking to him, and he was like, you understand why I got rid of you, right? I'm like, yeah, I completely do. It was a matter of I didn't win any of the individual immunity challenges, but I started to get up into them, into
mm-hmm.
the last round of all of them, and then he saw that I could actually talk to people, and I'm not saying that I'm the most likable person, but I am relatively persuasive.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that he couldn't afford to keep me around, because he couldn't afford to let me start trying to get into people's heads. And on
exactly.
top of that, he knew the game that I was playing, and I'm fairly certain, based on the conversations that I've had with him, that he knew I respected the game that he was playing. So it was
uh-huh.
far better to put me on the jury than it was to risk me winning anything and having to lose numbers.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
At the end of the day, the thing that got him to the end was the fact that the sheep wouldn't get rid of the shepherd.
Yep. Absolutely. It was pretty amazing watching that. And it, there's so much at Survivor at Luck. I mean, I don't know if it made the edit, because I haven't watched it, but I stood up and I just said, you know what? I appreciate that I'm here. Every one of you deserves to be here. A lot of people say, hey, I deserve to be there later. I deserve this or that. And, you know, I just said, the first thing I said is, there's so much luck involved in this game. 2 ounces of
absolutely.
Pork here, you know, this, there. And so, you know, I mean, that he played with the right people that he had played with. If he had been on the other tribe, you know, who knows what would have happened. I don't think that he would have lasted. I think that you would have gotten him out first, you know, or second on your tribe. I definitely see that happening. So much of it is luck and all that kind of stuff. So, David, I've got more questions for you, but I want our second guest to join in with us. This guy is endeared me to him when he said that he's the grand chess master, and he played on the season. And a cast that I really like, Jimmy Johnson and Jimmy T and Jane and a lot of people like that. And another really smart character. I would love to see them do a brains versus brawn type of theme, where it's all returners, and it's the really, really smart ones, and it's the really, really physical ones, and just kind of see how that would play out. Marty would be on the smart tribe. So I just want to welcome Marty. Are you on the line, Marty?
Marty, thank you for joining
us. I am. How are you guys
Marty,
doing?
Thanks
Marty.
For coming to the show. Marty is a fanatic about going to Survivor functions. Of course, he was at the Reality Rally a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Marty and I go way back. I saw him in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago. And anyway, Marty's a good friend of mine. Marty, thanks for doing this. I actually was kidding about Marty going to all the functions. He doesn't do that. I feel that it's really great to have you on the show tonight. So start, Marty. I want to start asking you a question. And David, don't go anywhere, because I want to come back to you. But Marty, tell me just what do you think about the finale and the winner, and just give us your thoughts really quickly on the season.
I thought that the season, actually, as much as it got relatively predictable towards the end, I actually became more endeared to it than I was at the very beginning. I really wasn't that hot on it in the first two or three episodes, and then it started to grow on me. So, you know what? I really liked, and you probably, I'm hoping, Coach, can kind of respect this too, which is for one of those rare times, we had three strong players sitting up there at the end. And I think all of us here kind of enjoy strong alliances as well. including David, I think. And to see no coattail riders and no goats in the final three was just, I had a lot of respect for that. So for me, that part was gratifying. I thought that Kim was just a total stud. And even though you could kind of see what was going to happen, you know, with three or four episodes left in the season, it seemed, you know, invariably she was going to end up final three and probably winning the whole thing. But I kind of liked it, and I thought she was amazing. So it's great to see somebody play that well and that smart all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised that she took Chelsea. You know, everybody was thinking a couple of episodes back, yeah, she's gonna get rid of Chelsea, and she didn't. And definitely, that garnered a lot of respect. And like David said earlier, I do think that they really kind of let down in the final. Chelsea and Sabrina did not come up with these epic speeches. At least that's what we saw, which did make it easier for Kim. And you never know what's going on the jury, but for sure, you know, she deserved to win. Which brings up kind of an issue. I want to ask both of your opinions. David, I'll ask you first. You know, you have the winner, and it kind of started after, you know, I think Poverty won or somebody back there in season 15, 16, 17 won, and nobody liked them. I think it was season 16. So the next season they made Bob look out to be the champ, and they started this rumor of kind of like the winner's edit. I do not agree with the winner being eligible for fan favorite. I mean, they've already got $1 million. They've already got the stroke. So that's a question. David, do you agree with that?
I agree with you in terms of disagreeing with it. I think if you looked at this season and really had people considering it, Kim probably was the fan favorite, but at the same point in time, I mean, there's so many people in this season that did a phenomenal job. Like, if I was the one to pick it, sorry, Tarzan would have won. The guy not only made the show watchable when it, you know, there were moments when it was just not interesting. And I'm sorry, but, you know, him strolling around in a Speedo was entertaining. Not that I particularly enjoyed it, but I found it to be rather amusing. And then, you know, you have others that were in the mix. I mean, Sabrina had an appeal to her that was emotional and just a good person. Uh-huh. And contradictory to what I said before, you know, this isn't about being a good person, but at the same point in time, the fan favorite vote, as opposed to the winner's vote, should take that into consideration.
Yeah, and now you answered the second question that I was going to ask you, and that is, if you had to pick a fan favorite for this season, who would it be? And you had said Tarzan.
The fact that he... Go ahead.
No, continue.
No, the fact that he got to where he did was a testament to the way that he played the game. He played the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Christ's sake, everyone thought he was crazy. The man's a plastic surgeon. The man is obviously very accomplished and very intelligent, and I don't know what he told them that he did, but it was very clear that nobody knew that he was an extremely intelligent and extremely educated individual. They all thought he was crazy.
Yeah, and for somebody to bring absolutely no value to the table in terms of winning challenges, in terms of likability, in terms of camp work, from what we saw, he brought nothing to that table, which makes his run to go that deep into the game even more formidable. So I like that choice. Marty, do you like having fan favorite and the winner have the same, you know, can have the same title?
I totally agree that I would love to see the two separated, because I think it does allow other people that I think are significant contributors and should be able to, you know, enjoy in the trappings, be there. But not for the sake of being contrarian alone, I'm going to totally disagree with you guys on Tarzan.
Okay. Who is your fan favorite?
Well, and you guys may not be on board with this, but, you know, I kind of tend to go for guys that are super passionate, and I think you've heard me say this before, Coach, so and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I like the passionate type of guys that love the game, that play it really hard and maybe sometimes too hard and find themselves in the underdog position and have to fight and claw their way back up. I would have given serious consideration to Troyzan. And if not Troyzan, maybe Sabrina. So it would have been tough. It would have been between those two. I just, you know what, I'm getting a little tired of the older kooky guy character. You know, it's like not crazy about Philip. No, absolutely not. And I thought he was like a bad Dragon Slayer imitation.
There was an ounce of sarcasm in my question.
Yeah, no, I love your wry sense of humor, David, and I was cracking up the other night online, which is a hard thing to get across. I was laughing when I was reading your stuff that night. So, no, point well taken. No, Tarzan just bugged me, and, you know, I love the players, I love the strategy and everything else, and to me it was just like, this is like the older kooky guy that's around, and the only reason he made it as far as he did is because he didn't do anything and nobody really cared, and it was just a matter of time. Like, I'd much rather see somebody do something effective in the game and kind of control their own destiny and maybe get voted out 11th or 12th as opposed to really having no control over their own destiny and getting voted out like 15th or 16th, you know?
Well, let's give a cheer to the 11th places people to get voted out. I have a little, affinity for them.
Yeah, funny you should bring that up. Yeah, I love 11 or 12. Yeah, it sounds great.
No, I actually really, really do agree with you on that. I think if I had to go with a second choice, it would have been Troyzan, only because, I mean, I don't know if the FCC is going to cut this one out, but he was balls to the wall. Like, he did not take anything back. He did not bite his lip about saying anything. And you know, I didn't exactly do that either, and I really respect that about the way that he played. But the only flaw that he had was there were moments that if he had bit his lip, he would have stayed in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so hard, as we know, once you're in the game, especially, you know, for those of us that have only played once and, you know, Coach has had a different experience than us, but you're so wrapped up in it. I mean, you're just so wrapped up in the fact that you're there, that you were selected to be there. It's almost as if you feel like you're preordained to win the whole damn thing, and your experience is really nil. And while we may be smart enough guys to play well, we really didn't know it. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. You know, you think you're probably way better than you are, especially going into the game the first time.
Oh, come on! And I know how fantastic I am.
Hey man, it took me 100 days to kind of figure it out. And in my thing, I look back on that first one and I say to myself, "Geez, I mean, how green, you know, must I have been to do that?" So, and to make decisions that I made, it was pretty stupid. Anyway, but at least the Dragon Slayer emerged, and hence the radio name. But anyway, which is all it's good for these days. So, how about the worst player this season? And, you know, I mean, I want to hear not Colton. Let's just assume, if it were that, let's just assume Colton is the worst player or that you dislike the most. Who did you... I mean, and let me just say before that, I don't mean to put words in anybody's mouth, and Marty, I'll ask you first, but, like, for me, the thing that this season lacked, and maybe it's different, it is different for everybody, to me, and I said this eight episodes ago, this season after Colton left did not have anybody that you loved, and it didn't have anybody that you hated. That's what I thought. But who was your least favorite, excluding Colton?
Let me just say that I think that Colton was possibly playing a brilliant game. It's hard for us to know and how much of that was in the edit. As much as I kind of disliked everything about him, and I think that, you know, if I ever thought of, you know, that I was playing the game again, the question I would ask myself is, my God, could I ever play the game with somebody like Colton and actually not lose it, you know, and want to just take the guy to the chopping block right away? Because, you know, I'm just one of these guys, like, it's very black and white. You can't be that abusive to people and somehow stay in the game. It's just, you know, hard to fathom. So I think that he actually was possibly playing a very brilliant game. But, yeah, I didn't care for him. I didn't care for Alicia based on the stuff that they did. This is always a hard question, right, because choosing – you know, your least favorite or whatever is always hard because, my God, these 20 people were picked to play this incredible game, as we all know, and to single any one person out. I mean, I would have to say, and my God, I barely remember her name, but the gal that got the big fat lip at the very beginning of the season, you know, I mean, that, which was not an attractive look.
Sorry,
Nina.
I mentioned that in one of the shows that, man, she looks tore up. That was crazy.
She looked like the serial killer that Charlize Theron played in that movie. You know, the serial killer woman.
Don't knock serial killers. They've made me a lot of money.
So David, who was your least favorite?
I think I would have to say, and if I get the name wrong, forgive me. I think it was Matt, the big attorney guy. Believe it or not, I'm disliking the attorney. I think he was just so arrogant and so full of himself that, like, you know, you got to play that down. You got to take yourself down a notch. Like,
and did
you're
you guys?
Obviously a, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when they did that memory thing, that memory walk, and they played his clip, and he still said, "I was the best. I played the best of anybody."
Yeah, I mean, that was BS. Like, I'm sorry, you know, you didn't even get it to the jury. You didn't present yourself in the right way. You were a physical threat, and you also had a mouth. Like, you can't do both of those. You got to be one or the other. If you have a mouth, people are going to keep you around because nobody likes you. If you're a physical threat and you have a mouth, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like,
That's so
can I double down? I want to double down for a second. Actually, the person, you know, and nothing. Of course, I love little people. But you know what? Leaf did nothing for me, and it was starting to bug me. So, I'll throw that one in there. What the hell?
I want to double down. I love that.
Wait, was it double down or cut it in half?
I loved how he slept in a box, though. That killed me.
That killed me. That killed
me. That was the best scene of the finale. The best scene of the finale was him sitting in the toolbox.
God, they put that up, and I was like, no, don't do that.
That was Lee's moment of glory from this season, was the video of him. That was his finest moment, was him sleeping in the box. Hey, when you're out there and the elements are hitting, you'll sleep in anything.
He probably had less bug bites than anybody.
Probably.
If I could have found a box to sleep in, I would have done it. I mean, I cuddled with Ralph.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, at least you had a fur blanket to sleep next to. That
yeah,
was,
man.
That's his thing, man. That guy's back was out of sight.
Oh, that's some good insulation right there.
He had the best man's I've seen on Survivor.
It was well within my sight, and let me just tell you, it was soft.
Oh, God. Oh, no. That's unbelievable.
Did you need a translator for Ralph? I mean, he was always so hard to understand.
Well, actually, at the beginning, it was very difficult. They edited out a scene at Tribal Council where I translated for him. I learned to understand Ralph.
God.
That was probably my biggest disappointment from the season, where he was saying something and Jeff looked at him and was like cross-eyed and had no idea what he said. And I was like, Jeff, let me clarify for you. Translating Ralph speak.
Oh, that's funny. I've got to bring on the last guest so we can have kind of a three-way survivor talk right now. So let me bring him on. If either one of you guys, Marty or David, if you guys have to leave, let me know. But if you can stay on for a little bit, since this is the final episode, I'd appreciate it. Anyway, I want to just kind of go back a little bit in time. And
I've mentioned this before.
Well, no. Not talking about in my life. Let me go. It's all about me. So let me just say that 4 years ago, I think 4 years ago, 2008, I'm sitting around, my soccer players submit me for The Bachelor. It's how the whole Survivor idea got into my head to apply, because I never thought Survivor, I'd never watched it, didn't care about, you know, being on TV. And so it wasn't even a thought. It wasn't a blip on my radar. But anyway, so long story short, you know, I get a phone call from the Survivor casting, and they were like, you know, Coach, you know, we want to have you come out. Well, they didn't take those, but anyway, and they're like, hey, we want to maybe fly you out, da-da-da-da-da. And so immediately I was like, well, crap, I've never watched the season of Survivor. I've never watched an episode of Survivor. I had Netflix, so I go on Netflix, I type in Survivor, and the first one that pops up is Vanuatu, and I'm like, okay, great. Let me sit there and let me rent it. So I rented it, and so people would come over, soccer players would come over to my house, and they'd be like, what are you doing watching Survivor? This is like, and these are like fans. This is like, you know, 5 years ago. And I said, oh, you know, I'm just interested in the survival aspect of it, and it kind of gave me a funny look. But my first season that I watched that made this indelible impression was Vanuatu. And so as I'm watching it, of course, everybody in my life called me coach. I've been a coach since I was in a fraternity in college. And so everybody's always called me coach. And so I'm sitting there watching the show, and this guy pops up, Lee Masters, and he's calling himself Sarge. And when I saw that, what Sarge doesn't know is that when I saw that, it made an impression on my mind, because if nobody had had any nicknames or any one word nickname like that, I probably would have said I wanted them to call me like Ben Wade. I don't know, but it left an impression, and I knew going into the game that I wanted to be called a coach. So anyways, I want to introduce Sarge, Lee Masters. He's from Vanuatu. The girls ganged up on him, kicked him out. He was the 10th castaway to be booted in that season. He's been on hold for a long time. Sarge, welcome to the show.
What's going
Thank
on,
you
Coach?
For joining us.
Hey, I want to say, just outside of Survivor, I just want to say thank you for what you've done for our country. Thank you for serving. Thank you for being selfless. It's something that I'm never going to forget, and hopefully America doesn't forget, but I just wanted to say thank you.
Appreciate it. My enjoyment.
Are you still involved in the military or not?
Yeah, I'm a government service worker now. I do airspace safety for the government for missiles, jets, and stuff. But yeah, I work. You know, I spent a long time in Georgia, and I came back here and went to work for the government.
Okay. Now, when I first watched you, I mean, obviously loved your not the quote character. I mean, it was like, man, this guy is the real deal. And so, for me, I thought to myself, see, I'm a coach, right? And so I knew that you going out there, being in the military, and correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't you a drill sergeant?
Yeah, I had just hung my hat up like a week before when I went to do the casting call for Survivor. And I just spent 4 years as a drill sergeant. And
so,
that's why they categorized me.
Uh-huh. But being a drill sergeant, I mean, obviously, most people know this, but in case there's somebody that's been living under a rock, a drill sergeant is that guy that you see in the movie that's 1 inch away from a guy's face that looked the wrong way or had the wrong piece of his pants, that he's chewing the crap out of somebody.
Yes.
And spit is flying all over the place. So if that was you,
yes.
how did you control your temper when you're playing with a bunch of morons on Survivor that don't know how to survive? I mean, how
are you saying that most of the people on Survivor are morons?
Well,
much morons when they come to Survivor.
I wouldn't call them morons. What I would call them is they don't have a grasp of reality of life. You know, and if that's an example of a moron, I guess. But half the people that I've seen on Survivor don't have a grasp of reality. Quit a fully functional job to go hopefully win $1 million, and they don't, you know. But I mean, as a drill sergeant, I mean, your job is to sit back, evaluate, and find out what you have to do to create the perfect soldier. So my job was to sit back and create the perfect atmosphere to win Survivor. So it wasn't getting in people's faces, but yes, that's what I did for 4 years. I got in people's faces. And what have you.
All right. I need to interject here, Sarge. This is Paul again. I was in the Army, and I did have to put up with drill sergeants, and you guys scared the shit out of me.
And
FCC's calling. FCC's calling.
And that was the idea, but the idea was to break someone down from what they knew and bring them back as someone that, you know, their parents don't even know, you know, because parents come to graduation and walk right by their child. And they're like, I'm looking for my child, Private Parker, you know, and I'm like, you just walk right by him. And, you know, and Private Parker goes, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They're like, you never said that to me, you know. And I said, if he doesn't say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, I'm going to snap his neck, you know. And so, I mean, it's just, it's all a persona. And, you know, you do what you got to do. But on Survivor, no. If I got in someone's face, I probably would have been gone day one.
If you got in my face, I would have patted you on the back and said, we're going to get along.
So Sarge, what did you think about this season? Give us just a quick rundown on this season and what your thoughts were.
I mean, this season was funny, and I mean, I was listening to y'all for a good 15 minutes, and I mean, they said, what's the worst player of this season? The worst player this season wasn't a person. It was a doggone tribe, because the guys were the worst player I've ever seen in my life. I mean, anybody that goes, walks in there and says, Jeff, we want to give up our immunity. I'm like, you are an idiot, you know? And, this season was funny. I mean, everybody said that, you know, Colton was the worst player, the best player. I mean, his strategy was good, but I was very angry. I threw a lot of things around the living room when I was watching it, you know, because, I mean, he gave Survivor a bad name because we're not racist. We're not, you know, we're not bigots. We're not you know, we don't degrade people in our attempt to win $1 million. But I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it. Kat was, you know, pathetic. Alicia was pathetic, you know, and stuff. But I mean, it was good. I didn't. I hate
don't sugarcoat it, Charles. Don't sugarcoat it.
No, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But no, and like y'all said, I hate when the $1 million winner gets the fan favorite. That should be an automatic, you know, elimination from the thing. Because I mean, 1.1, it happened 2 seasons ago. 1.1, and I'm like, come on now. I mean, you gave they get $1 million, you know, but America doesn't know before Sunday who's going to get the million, you know. So, but I mean, it was a good season. Tarzan made it funny. And just watching them, you know, just watching them tear each other apart and lie to each other and then people. But, there has to be the funniest moment of the season. The funniest moment of the season, I have to say this, okay, Coach. The funniest moment when Kat goes, it's so funny watching someone get blindsided. I mean, next time I see her, I'm going to say, you know what the funniest part about Survivor is blindsides. They're funny, aren't they, Kat? You know, because she walked off there, and she was still crying the week later. You know, she was still crying. And I mean, it was just so hilarious, you know, when she said that, and then she got blindsided, you know. But, you know, it was good.
Yeah, that was it's funny, Sarge, that you said that, because I actually said that that week on the radio show. It was like, it was one of the things that I said. It was like, you know, it's fun and exciting. And for her to say that, I mean, the producers, when they saw that, just had a field day with her. I mean, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, by far.
We've got a child on the radio.
Yeah.
I think it might be Coach.
Oh, Coach is fine. Yeah.
That sounds about right.
The dragon slayer got slayed by a child. But, are we there?
Dead air.
I think we're still
dead
there.
Air. I think that's Coach's new little stuff sound. But I agree. I don't think that they should allow the winner to get the fan favorite. And I think that somebody needs to, like, do something to let them know that all of us, you know, all of the fans, all the viewers think so. I don't know how we can, you know, start a petition or something to let them know that everyone is tired of seeing that. And
I'll call Mark Burnett and see what he can do about it.
Would you handle that for us?
That would be my pleasure.
I'll drop Jeff a line, yeah.
Well, see, the problem is America doesn't know who's going to win, so they're voting. But Sprint ought to automatically say, you know, if this is the winner, it goes to the next person in line. You know, just like winners should not play again. I mean, come on now. They got $1 million already. you know, let someone else play, you know. And, you know, but, I mean, that's – they're going for ratings. Sandra, you know, Sandra and Boston Rob, they're all ratings. So, you know, Hans and Coach, you know, they're all ratings. So, I mean, it's – you know, they're not going to listen to anybody. They're not going to listen to America. They're not going to listen to Survivors. And, you know, they're going to listen to ratings. But,
yeah, they're going to listen to that bottom dollar. That's what they're going to listen to. It's what brings them money.
Because, you know, I've always said they ought to have first voted off, you know, Survivor, you know, and let, you know, it's called Loser Survivor, you know, or Survivor Losers, you know, and
let's take that back a step. We don't need Carolina on TV again.
Well, I want to see what Wanda's going to do, what song she's going to come up with this time, you know, but because I got that on my iPod, you know, and I, you know, and when I get depressed, I play it, but. I mean, it's comical, but yeah, like I said, they're bringing three people back, you know, that got hurt. So I mean, that's going to be good. I mean, they never got voted off, so that'll be good. Yeah, for the most part, I mean, they've evolved in such a they've evolved in such a different mannerism of Survivor. They give food now, whereas we didn't get food. They give they had Redemption Island. They had all this other stuff. So, I mean, no telling what they're going to do next. They got to make something different every time or people are going to stop watching.
And look at all the tools they give them now. They were giving them serious toolboxes. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, saws and nails and stuff. Hell, if they had given me that, I would have had a three-story condo out there. And
you got to believe that these guys are, you know, concerned on some level about balancing out people quitting and actually making it really challenging. Because I'd be a big fan. I mean, if you were to say, what would you like to see on another season if you were on? I would love to see more suffering, less food, and just more intensity, you know, and great challenges. We actually saw some pretty good challenges this season, I would say. But that's what I think brings it back to what Survivor was when we used to watch it a long time ago.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Go ahead,
Sarge.
No, I mean, the challenges have been awesome. I mean, they have come up with some crazy stuff that it just has been great. But like you said, I think they need to go back. Because when my season started, Mark Burnett walked out of there before he got on his yacht and went off and cruised. He said, you know, guys, this is season 9. You're going to suffer, you know. And he goes, you're following the All-Stars. You're going to suffer. And that's what he did. You know, I lost 35 pounds. I ate, you know, about 2 ounces of food a day, and we suffered, you know. And I think they need to come back with a couple of those seasons. But like you said, people start quitting. We didn't see quitters until after they started giving things. They started giving you things, they started quitting. I mean, the first time I saw someone walk off and quit, I was appalled. I threw stuff around my living room for 20 minutes because there's 65,000 people that are auditioning every season for this thing, and they have some low-life piece of crap, you know, quit and walk off, you know, that was pathetic.
Imagine my season, Sarge. Imagine my season getting voted out and two tribals later having two people drop out. I mean, I wanted to throw stuff right there, I wanted to throw stuff right from the jury.
Yeah, you want to go right up to the person and say, don't even show up at the finale. Don't show up at any event. You are not a survivor. You're a piece of crap, you know? You know, and
I totally agree. I think, one thing they didn't show again from my season was I had shingles the entire time that I was there.
Oh, my gosh.
They're asking me if I want to quit, and I'm telling them, are you going to make me? And they actually had a thought about whether or not I'd be able to stay because one of the people on my season hadn't had chicken pox. And for those that don't know, an adult that hasn't had chicken pox. Yeah. If you get chicken pox, it can be fatal.
Right.
And so they're sitting there trying to like asking me, are you ready to quit? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, I'm in some serious pain and this is not pleasant, but until you tell me that I have to go, I'm not going to go. And I mean, I cannot fathom how you could quit this. Like, I mean, Sarge, you had it far worse than Marty or not, and I did. But I mean, it's miserable.
Well, what people didn't know is I probably wouldn't have made it to the end anyway because I got a coral reef infection on my leg, and the last three or four episodes of my season, people couldn't tell. but my leg was wrapped with antibiotic wraps because I got a coral reef, and I had 1-inch holes all up my leg. I had 7 holes in my legs from the infection, and they kept saying, "You're going to quit," and I said, "The hell I am." And, you know, and they said, you know, and every time we went to tribal council, they'd unwrap it and look at it, and there were just holes, and they started at my ankle, went all the way to my knees. And they were just, the algae was eating my leg, and I wasn't quitting. I said, they'll take the leg before I quit, you know, and stuff. But I got voted off, and then I got pumped with a bunch of antibiotics, and I just got nice 12 scars to show it, you know. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, everybody's, you know, like shingles, chicken pox, you're like, I'm not quitting, you know.
Well, yeah. I did play it a little bit and made it seem a little worse than it was to everybody that was there, with the hopes that they'd be like, oh, he can't physically make it, we'll keep him around.
Yeah.
Then the next thing you know, I'm running through a challenge and doing relatively well, and they're like calling bullshit on me, and well, what can
well,
I do?
And there's, yeah, there's a lot of things that people don't know. I mean, there's things that we've been told at different events, at Celebration and in Cocoa Beach and Kentucky. I mean, we've heard about things that all of a sudden people were supposedly got hurt, but they didn't get hurt. They were in violation of the contract, and they were told that they're out next week, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. And,
yeah.
But we don't know half the time they walk off. It might not have been they walked off. It might have been they violated the contract and told, you're going to walk off the game, or we're, you know, you're in violation of contract, we'll take everything.
Except,
you know, so,
on Marty's season, that was just a straight bitch move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have the words to say it. Like, you're sitting there, you have a chance, and quite frankly, both of them were unlikable enough that they could have been sitting there at the end.
Exactly, because, I mean, that's what everybody keeps. I mean, that's why you keep Sabrina, that's why you keep Kat, you know, that's why you keep all these people around. But, hell, look, 2 seasons ago, what's the little blonde's name that won?
Fabia.
Natalie White. Or
yeah, Natalie.
Oh,
Natalie.
Okay.
And nobody liked her, and she rode the coattails, and she made it to the end. And everybody's sitting back at the end of the season going, how in the heck did she get to the end? And, you know, and that was the greatest. It wasn't a greatest play. It was a greatest game that she played because, I mean, she didn't play Survivor, and she won $1 million.
She pissed people off less than Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was. I mean Russell, Rob may have the greatest game that anybody ever played, but in terms of strategy, Russell can't be touched.
Oh, I hands down. And every time someone asks me, the greatest player ever was Russell Hans. The greatest player that never won, you know. And I mean, find 3 immunity idols without no clue, and I'm like, how in the hell did, you know, someone's got to be slipping him something, but you know, they didn't.
What do you guys think about that? By the way, what do you guys think about the way that idols are placed these days? I got to tell you, I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, on our season, that you could never, it was impossible. You couldn't, they were buried like deep underground, you know, in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah.
You needed to figure out where they were. But the last few seasons, it seems to me like they're almost just planted in a way that just about anybody, if you looked at enough trees and enough, you know, holes in a tree, you're going to find the idol. I mean, I don't understand why and how they're making it at least apparently seem so easy. You guys have any thoughts on that?
It minimizes it, in my opinion. I agree with you.
I think that, you know, here's a food for thought about this. I noticed, like, on my first season in Brazil, one of the things that I loved about it is that our tribe was huge. Like, I was stupid back then, right, and I would leave camp for hours at a time to go and meditate and to go and try to catch snakes. I mean, it was stupid because everybody was talking about me back at camp. But the field that we were in was huge. I don't know about your guys, but season 20, our beach was very small. Season 23, it was even smaller yet. And I don't know if they're trying to contain us easier, But for me, it's just the logistics. Like the Exile Island that I was on, I hiked for an hour in every direction and didn't get to the boundary. You know, you could walk for 5 minutes in Samoa, and maybe it's because they've been doing them on these in these small areas, and the tribes are so small. Really, the area in 23 was the beach and about, I don't know, 100 yards off the beach, maybe not even that. And so the only place it's going to be is along the beach. And so to me, it was almost easy once you had a clue to try to find it. So that might be part of it, is just geographically it's shrinking.
Well, I think Marty and I, it had the exact same terrain, and it was relatively treacherous. I mean, we had, correct me if I'm wrong, Marty, but we had there was a mountain that you climbed up, and you could go fairly far back in both directions on it. And I mean, nothing was hidden up there. And trust me, I turned over every rock and dug under every tree, and all I found were crabs, and I mean the food kind. But
it was far. Our whole area was enormous in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
It was very, very big, and you needed to be able to figure out a fairly complex clue in order to figure out exactly where something was buried underground. I mean, that's just flat out not happening unless you figure that out, whereas now it seems like it's more like an Easter egg hunt.
We didn't have anywhere to go. I mean, we only had a half a mile in each direction, and we were stopped. And the idle thing didn't even, I mean, they didn't start the idle thing for 3 or 4 seasons later. So,
right,
and there was nothing for us to search for. So, I mean, no conversation, because, I mean, that was way before us.
Yeah. So we got to wrap things up in a little bit here, guys. So I just want to go really quick just to ask, you know, about just the seasons in general. You know, we've had 24 seasons, and I want to know, Sarge, you talked about Russell being the best player because of the way that he played, and I played with him that first time. You know, we didn't know anything about him, but my goodness, the ferocity that he brought to the game was mind-blowing. And even though you knew that he was deceitful, you just went with him. But I want to know about the most likable. What was your favorite character to watch, just in terms of entertainment value? We'll start with Marty.
Oh, I mean, I hate to kiss your ass, but I mean, as you well know, I enjoyed what you brought to the game. And as I recall it, and as I've told you before, Coach, what I liked about it and what I still like in seasons even today is just, the episode ends and, someone gets booted. And the first thing you're thinking about is, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next week. And I can't wait to see what's going to come out of that guy's mouth. You know, what outrageous, outlandish, you know, either fabrication, or I want to believe that it's not a fabrication, is what's going to be uttered. And that makes it interesting to me. Like, to me, Survivor today is really all about the story. That's why I get bored by, seasons that don't have big moves, because predictability on the show is just kind of it's not a disaster, but I mean, it's less appealing. It's less interesting. So I love it when people make big moves and do outlandish things and make it a little more interesting. So, I would say the character that you built and developed was, to me, one of my favorite, and one of your buddies, I think, also same kind of thing, was Tyson. Tyson for me just had one of the best sense of humors that I've ever seen. Some of the stuff in his first season was just off the charts hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for Tyson in a way, because had I not been there doing the stuff that I had done, he would have been the character of the season. He was just amazing, hilarious. But Marty, I appreciate you saying that. I'll send you the check for saying that about me. I appreciate that. But when you first said, that was what I loved about your character. You know, you were to the point, you were telling a story. So many people forget that. You know, like when I was out there, I'm sure it's like this with all the more memorable characters, you're thinking every second that what are you going to do to get, to either get airtime or to, do something memorable. I remember, Marty, that you told me that when somebody would walk in that had been voted off, that you and a couple of other people in your tribe would say, they would actually go and give this exaggerated expression because they knew, hey, that might just make that edit. Is that right?
Yeah, I think just generally speaking, I mean, you know, when you think about what's going to happen at Tribal, what are you going to say? What are you going to say when you go up and write somebody's name down? Yeah, you spend a lot of time thinking about what's that one liner going to be, because, you know, that's a key moment, you know. But yeah, I mean, just, I can go on and on, right? What a great, great game.
Sarge, what about you? What's your favorite character of all time?
I mean, it's a comical character that I really enjoyed was between I liked Russell because he was a jerk, but he wasn't comical. I would have to agree you and Johnny Fairplay, because you and I agree with what he said was, you know, you were waiting to see what was going to come out of your mouth next, and I laughed so hard with the whole Zen thing, because I mean I've never been into it. And it's just, I was comical. And then Johnny Fairplay. So between the two of y'all, you know, I would say y'all are the most comical and memorable, you know, not including, I mean, everybody wants to say Rupert. I'm not saying Rupert. And because, I mean, I'm so over Rupert. But, and, you know, yeah, I would say between you and Johnny Fairplay, you know, for the most part.
Man, I got to ask this question more often. You guys are making me feel better now that I felt so crappy on Sunday that I didn't win the million and I totally failed myself. Anyway, thank you. Like, I didn't expect that. But what about you, Dave?
Well, Coach, I'm going to blow your head up a little more. I can't narrow it down to one. There's three that I see. Coach, you for one, if for no other reason than the pontification. I mean, that right there, you know, you got a little place in my heart with that one.
Okay.
And second, I mean, Fairplay was one of them, only because he was so incredibly offensive that I kind of bonded with him, not to mention the fact that he's one of my clients, which we will not talk about any further. But I think the one that's overlooked, not only because he was the first, but also because he was the worst, it's Richard Hatch. How can you not look at him? I mean, the man was the biggest asshole. I mean, I think he, pardon my language, I think he even trumps Russell on that level, and he won.
Hey, David,
yeah, I agree.
David, I have to interrupt real quick here because you brought up Hatch. A little bit of an advertisement. This coming Monday, Richard Hatch is going to be on our radio show on Manic Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time, with Michelle Costa from Big Brother. So thanks for bringing him up. Okay, sorry, guys. Go ahead.
Can I get into an argument with him on the radio?
You can call in just like anybody else. You're welcome to call in.
I mean, he's arrogant. I mean, I can't even stand to see him in person. He's arrogant and obnoxious, and I get so far away from him whenever he comes in the room.
Those are my favorite type of people.
Yeah, but in my world, I stay away from him because I explode on them, you know.
Do you do any CPA work, David?
I'll do anything somebody pays me to do.
So, Paul and Jerry, do you have anything else before we wrap up tonight?
I just want to say that it's been a wonderful Dragon Slayer radio season, and I want to thank you, Coach, for doing all these wonderful shows with us. It's been so much fun, and you've brought so many wonderful guests, like tonight,
absolutely,
to the show, and we have enjoyed it immensely, and I just thank you so much for doing this with us. We have been blessed to have you join us here on the Rad Reality Show, and I thank you so much. It's been so much fun having you with us, and I can't wait to hear, you know, and see what next season brings. I know that we're going to do some bigger and better things next season.
How can you get bigger and better than this?
I was never going to say that.
Okay, this is Paul, Coach. I will echo Sherry's sentiments and thank you very much, but
I do have a question or two for the remaining guests on here. First of all, did any of you go to the finale this season?
I did not.
No, oh. I did not.
Okay. The other thing I was just curious, and you don't have to talk too long about it, but what do you think about the second chances theme for the upcoming season? Do you think that, because some of you said you don't like to see people returning, but what do you think about giving those people that, you know, through no fault of their own, but through injuries had to leave?
Well, I agree, and I mentioned it earlier in the interview and of the session. I said that they were never voted off, so give them their due on the show because they weren't voted off. And you know, and as far as people coming back, you know, I mean that's ratings. But I agree. You know, let anybody that didn't get voted off come back.
Right, they were medevaced out, and.
I really think that, you know, I've said this before, I love the old-fashioned Survivor, 18 people, everybody's new, you know, no tribe swaps, you know, nothing like that. I like good old-fashioned Survivor, and at the same time, my hat's off to CBS for continuing, well, actually not CBS, but just good as it is. Actually Survivor Productions and Mark Burnett Productions. My hat's off to Survivor and Mark Burnett and the producers because they continue to come up with themes that are interesting. As much as the haters want to say, oh, you know, stop bringing back, you know, old players, I got to tell you that if they had done straight Survivor, new 18 people every year, never had an All-Stars, never had a fan favorite, never had a Redemption Island, I don't think the show would still be on. I think that they would have, I think it would have ended already. And so and it certainly wouldn't have the base that it has. So my hat's off to
all
them
right.
if they keep doing new stuff like this.
Okay, I'll tell you that right after they have me on for another season, then I'm definitely not going to be into people returning for sure.
I was going to say kind of the same thing, that it's okay if they have returning people as long as it's me and Marty and we can get into an argument.
I hope everybody on this radio show plays again. That's from the heart. I don't think that I'll play again. I've said that a bunch of times, but I hope everybody else gets the chance to play it. So we're going to wrap up tonight. I want to just say real quick, my hat's off and a big special thanks to Brenda Porter. She's been instrumental in getting the guest booked, and she's like the booking agent for Dragon Slayer Radio. So my hat's off to Brenda, all the listeners out there, David, Marty, Sarge. I can't think of a better cast to have for the last show. I appreciate you guys being on the air, and we'll catch everybody next season. Dragon Slayer Radio out.
Thank you so much, Coach. It's been a pleasure. Anyone who doesn't have to go, you're welcome to stay with us. We're going to stay on the air for a little while. If you don't have to hang up, you're welcome to stay with us and talk a little bit longer. We have a few callers who would like to call in and ask questions. If you have to go, that's okay. We understand.
I got some
but we'd
time
love to have you stay for a little longer if you have the time to.
I got to put my two kids to bed. My wife is out for the night, so I would love to stay on and do some more of it. But want to say thanks for having me on. And, David, great talking to you and great catching up with you, Sarge, too.
Marty,
yeah,
you always
care.
Thanks to Brenda and everybody. Appreciate it. I got to run for about 5 or 10. I'll call back in 10 minutes and talk to anybody who wants to call in. But thanks a lot, Coach. Thanks, Brenda. And thanks, everybody at Rad Radio. And if he's still on in 10, I'll call back.
Thank
Peace
you
out.
So much.
Thanks.
We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so
thanks,
much for
guys.
Calling
David,
tonight.
I'll
it's
call
been
you
a great
in LA.
Pleasure.
Yeah, Marty. Well, I happen to clear my entire schedule, so as long as you can bear with me while I walk across the street to buy something real fast, I'm not going anywhere.
That's great. You can stay
David,
with us as long
David,
as you like.
David, what are you buying for us?
Do you really want to know?
I guess not. Now that you put it that way, I guess not. Some of the people in the chat room wonder about when pretty much all three of you were the first members of the jury and how that played into your experience and your voting and all that type of thing. Do you think you had a unique experience being, you know, on the jury basically longer than anybody else? How was that different, do you think?
Oh, I think it was phenomenal for me. It was awful in another sense. It was great in the sense that I got really the full experience of the game by being on the jury, but at the same time, I got to spend 2 weeks at a really nice place and just have a lot of fun.
And
so
clean
what's Ponderosa like?
Yeah.
I had a very interesting experience there, primarily because I was there for about a week by myself based on the whole Redemption Island factor. And I just had a lot of time to do whatever I wanted to do without any interruptions. There was nobody else that I had to deal with. After that, it was kind of odd, only because I had people trickling in little by little. You have to excuse me. I'm crossing the street.
Careful.
Oh, yeah, I'm jaywalking.
Yeah, we don't don't need to hear live on the air somebody going, screech, boom.
We don't want to hear that.
Well, if that happens, it's evidence in my civil lawsuit. I had a great experience all around. It was hands down the most fun I've ever had. I mean, with my job and everything, like, I don't get the chance to not do anything. And this really gave me that opportunity. And, I mean, it was absolutely a blessing.
So now, being first at Ponderosa, you were actually able to take sort of a week to yourself and unwind and have sort of a week's vacation from everyone and sort of unwind and gather your thoughts and be away from all of them and away from the whole Survivor tribe and everything.
True.
To sort of just be yourself and
rest
and relax and be at Ponderosa without having all of the drama that comes along with it after people start joining you.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
But at the same point in time, the whole time that I was there, I was very upset by the fact that I wasn't back in that. I mean, it was nice to be able to decompress, but, you know, the whole time I was sitting there angry that I wasn't...
You wanted to be back out there in Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I still
think about that now.
Obviously, each time somebody joined you, you had to listen to stories, and you would sit there and think, oh, I would have done this differently. I wish I was back in. Every single person probably came in updating you on what was going on, Drew.
Well, slightly untrue, only because let's not confuse who I am with anybody else. I wasn't asking them what they were doing. I was telling them what they should have done. But I mean, you all know who I am. And, you know, I didn't really play a character so much as play myself. I mean, for better or for worse, I was who I was.
All right. Now, there have been a number of people on Survivor that have been in your profession. Do you find yourself, at least initially, rooting for them? Obviously, you didn't feel that way about Matt, but do you keep in touch with those past survivors more so just because you share the same profession or no?
Not really, with the exception of Bob. He's the Mason. He's the only one that I've actually stayed of those that share the same profession. He's the only one that I've really stayed in touch with. The rest of them, I really don't know. My thing with Matt wasn't so much personal as much as it was that I just didn't think he did it the way that he should have.
Right.
Someone in our chat room was wanting me to ask you what it was like to live with Philip.
Oh, that's a very good question. Hang on 1 second. I'm at CVS and I'm paying right now.
Okay.
David's sitting there, Cherry, I'm sure David's sitting there thinking, okay, how do I even answer that question?
I know.
Well,
and he certainly doesn't want to do it in public.
No.
Oh.
I'll
say it in a second when I'm outside the door.
Yeah, we all know what it's like to be on our cell phones when we're in public and wondering, you know, okay, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah, let alone on a radio show. But anyhow, Philip and I could not have had a greater personality clash.
Yeah.
there was a moment that was not aired where Philip threatened to kill me. And I I found that to be rather amusing personally, only because it wasn't the first death threat I've gotten. Most of them have become, you know, from a professional nature, but he and I had a very different view on the way that he was going about doing things. And literally the moment after we got through the merge, like the feast, and then we're all at camp, he started telling me how things were going to be. And
oh, you're kidding me.
I'm not exactly passive, and that just didn't jive with me. And I was not not indirect in telling him that, you know, you're not going to tell me how things are going to be. This is not your chair. This is our chair. You want to use our whatever, I'm going to use your whatever. He woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning to tell me that we don't sleep in chairs. These chairs are very valuable to us. We don't sleep in our chairs. So the next day, noon or so, Philip was asleep in the chair. I walked over and woke him up and told him that we don't sleep in our chairs. Needless to say, that wasn't very well received.
Oh, my goodness. I bet
it was
quite amusing with the two of you going at it.
It was the start of a true friendship. It's actually kind of funny now because he and I live very close to each other and run into one another once a month or so, just in like local places. And the first few times it was a little cold. He's warmed up a little bit. I still try and dodge him if I can. But,
wow.
Yeah.
The person that asked that question is Leonardo. He's calling all the way from Brazil. So
as long as it wasn't Philip that asked that question.
No. He's one of our regular guests, and he calls all the way from Brazil, and he really wanted to know how you found it to live with Philip. And so I thank you for answering that question. And he wanted to know, let's see if you could ask what Carol thought of Brazil. I don't know exactly what that means.
My name is not Carol, so I cannot answer that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what that means. But anyway, he did want me to thank you for answering that question. And
my pleasure.
We have another caller on the line that has a question. If you wouldn't mind answering a question from a caller, we have a caller that would like to
you've got
come on the line.
Covered. I have nothing to do until about 6 o'clock in the morning, so
okay. And I believe we have Sarge back on the line.
How's it going?
Sarge,
welcome
thank
back,
you so
Sarge.
Much for calling back in.
No problem. I just had to put the family to bed.
Oh, well, it's so nice of you to call back in. I appreciate it.
We have somebody who's going to ask, one of our callers wants to ask a question of you guys, so.
And we have Chad. Thank you so much, Chad, for calling Dragon Slayer Radio. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good.
And you have a question?
Yeah, it was for David and now Sarge, who's back online. As a fellow Survivor fan and trying out and auditioning, what's your guys' best advice?
Sarge, take it.
What I tell everybody is I say be yourself, because if you try to be somebody else, they're going to spot it and they're going to be like, we've already seen that. So, I mean, be yourself and think of something that makes you more unique than anybody else. I mean, when I went down there, they asked me if I needed a couple more minutes to think, you know, to practice what I was going to say, and I just told them I don't know what I'm going to say. And so, you know, I went straight from the hip when I started, and that's what I say. Just be yourself and do something that no one's done before, because, like I say, Lynn Spillman will see right through if you're trying to imitate somebody.
I couldn't agree more with that. My advice is not necessarily the best on this one, because I walked into the finals maybe 3 days after having even seen one episode of the show. But in the course of my interview, I got into the interview with Jeff and Mark Burnett and then all the CBS executives. And the first time that I met Jeff, he had told me, if you make it to the finals, which I don't think you will, we're going to ask you a question. And the question is going to be, what are you going to do when somebody tells you that you're wrong? And he said, think about that for a minute. Don't answer it now. Think about that. If I see you again, I'm going to ask you to answer it. So in the finals, he asked me to answer that. And I honestly had not thought one moment about it. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, I hope that nobody tells me, or I hope that nobody disagrees with me so I don't have to tell them that they're wrong. And I got up and walked out of the interview. And I think everyone's jaw hit the floor because I literally walked out of the interview with all the CBS executives. And I was like, you know what, if you don't like me, you don't like me. I am not going to be somebody that I'm not. And don't disagree
with me.
You're
probably the first one that's ever walked out of the interview like that.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what solidified my place.
I would be surprised.
Like I said, from the interviews, I mean, the interviews are based off of what they think you are, and you get to the interview, and you're totally different because I went in there, and they didn't ask me a single question, and all they wanted to talk about was me yelling at in my audition tapes, you know, and then they brought some associate professors that were in their third year of college, and I think Mark Burnett was there, Bruckheimer was there, and they said, hey, we want you to kick the door in, walk over, and just start hollering at them. So that's what I did. I kicked the door in, walked over there, and just lit them up like a Christmas tree, and everybody just rolled laughing. They said, okay, you know, they said, okay, that's all we need. And I never answered a single question in an interview.
Wow.
If you had done that to me, I probably would have dropped one.
But, I mean, like I say, you know, anybody that wants to get on the show, you know, just be yourself because they're going to try to get you to imitate someone and then automatically they're going to tell that that's what you're there for and they're going to dump you, you know. So, you know, be like, you know, who are you going to be, who are you going to imitate? I'm not going to imitate anybody, you know, I'm going to imitate the winner. That's what I'm going to do. Take your money and run.
That's
quite
that's
obviously
funny
everybody's experience. And casting for Survivor has been very, very different.
Well, it's funny that you say don't imitate anybody because they asked me that question and I still hadn't watched enough. And I'm like, I don't know who anybody is. I don't know. Like, the point isn't that you're going to be somebody. The point is that you have to be yourself. And if you are too over the top, it's really obvious.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to be somebody else, it's really obvious.
Hey, Chad, I think that was a great question. I think you just got a real key, and don't answer that question if you ever get to casting and they ask you, who do you think you want to play like? Just say, I don't know.
Just say, I want to play like me.
Yeah, yep.
So I think, the best advice they can give you, and you can't get
anything
from better people than you've got on the line right here. Any other question?
No, that's it.
Okay,
thank
you so much for calling Dragon Slayer Radio.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
You guys have a great night.
You too.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you. No problem.
And we have another caller who's been waiting quite a long time, and this is actually a friend of Coach's.
Coach's.
Amen.
Dog, thank you so much for calling Dragon Slayer Radio.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Hi, Jerry. Hi again, Paul. Hey,
hi,
last
Doc.
Week I called everybody else. And Sarge, I love you in Vanuatu.
Dog, you've
appreciate
got a terrible connection tonight.
Oh, I do? Can you hear
yeah.
me better now?
No, it's got a lot of noise in the background.
Okay, oh, let me
Dog, this is Paul. Why don't you quickly ask your question, and then we'll mute your phone, and they can answer it for you.
Is this phone any better?
No.
Hello?
Background noise is still there, hon. Can you just ask your question and we'll mute your phone so they can answer for you?
Anyway, what I was doing last week, I was standing about 3 feet from Coach when he was talking to you guys an hour early. I was at the Youth Symphony Orchestra, and that was really a neat thing. But I really didn't have much of a question.
Hey, Dodd.
I had a couple of answers.
Yeah. All right. You might listen. We can't keep you on. It's really bad. You can maybe try hanging up and calling back. That works for some people sometimes.
Yeah, there's just too much noise on the line, hon.
Okay, I'll do that, Paul. Give me a
thank you.
Hey, Cherry, I think Leonardo is Skyping in from Brazil. It's hard to push one on Skype, but I think he might have a question. Should we bring Leonardo
up? Okay, let's try for Leonardo. Thank you for calling, Leonardo. How are you?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Do you have a question for David or Sarge?
Yes, I have a question for David.
Okay.
And I'll answer it.
Why do you think the cerebral players get more credit than the physical dominator players?
Well, I mean, besides the fact that we're just fantastic, I think it makes for better TV in the sense that we can give an interview that people who are just a big body can't. Quite frankly, like, you look at some of the people from my season that were physically more dominant. I'm not discounting them intellectually, but they didn't present an interview. They didn't present a conversation. They couldn't convey their point. I think the one thing that distinguishes us, fat and lazy people from the big physical competitors is that you ask me to tell a story, I can tell a story. You ask me a question, I can give you an answer. And whether you like it or not, I mean, let's be blatantly honest, my answer is going to be amusing.
I can see that. But do you think if Oz would have won, his season would have been better?
I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you said.
Do you think if Ozzy had won his season would have been better?
No.
Rather than just both in winning it?
No. No, I think I think Coach should have won. No questions asked. Coach and I have had this conversation. I'm sorry.
I don't know about that, man. Coach kind of, I don't know, man. I think the one thing he did right was to convince Cochran into voting the way he wanted.
No, I think you're right, and I think Cochran tried to present the argument in the right way, but he wasn't persuasive enough about it. He didn't present it clear enough. I think Cochran was the best bet that Coach had to win, and Coach did what he could with that. But, and no disrespect to Cochran, but Cochran didn't come through with the argument that Coach needed.
Yeah, I think Cochran destroyed his tribe. I mean, he killed all of his chances, his tribe as well. His tribe as well.
Right. Leonardo, your Skype phone has some background noise in it as well. I'm really sorry to tell you that, but it's very difficult to hear you too. I don't know if there's a problem with Skype tonight or what's going on, but it's very difficult to hear you.
Thanks for calling, though.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you watching.
Thanks, Leonardo.
Thanks so much, Leonardo. Take care. He's calling all the way from Brazil, so I guess Skyping from that far might lose some of its integrity on the old Skype line there.
Yeah, I had that same problem when I was in Iraq. I call him back. Some nights it was good, some nights it was bad.
Right. But, you know, Skype's a wonderful tool, so it's always nice to have that, you know, handy. So So we have a lot of callers that call on Skype, and some nights we have a great phone line connection, and other times we have problems like this. So you just never know.
Well, tell them that I will not take any more calls that come over bad connections.
Okay.
You'll be voted out.
We'll vote them out. That's right.
Immediately, if not sooner.
So how many – were you guys really kind of surprised at Kim and her speech on the reunion show? I was really floored by the fact that she just seemed so much more grown up than she did on the show.
She talked
about her need for her surgery and how she just seemed so much more grown up all the way around. I was really floored, and I just wanted to reach in and give her a hug after I learned everything about her and saw the way she was handling her vote. And, you know, I wasn't a big Kat fan
You're referring to Kat, not Kim.
I'm sorry, not Kat. I'm sorry, not Kim. Kat. I was talking about Kat. Not
I was
going to
say, I missed something.
Yeah, I did say Kim.
No,
I meant Kat.
Yeah.
What do you guys
Kat
think?
Was so just like Looney Tune a lot of the time on the show. She didn't know she had an appendix. She, you know, she just seemed like she was so young and naive and blonde or something on the show.
You say she didn't know she had an appendix. I'm fairly convinced that she didn't know she had a brain.
Well, this could be. This could very well be.
I think she lived a pampered life. I mean, you could tell that she come from a pampered life. She never had to have a thought process of how I'm going to get my next meal, how I'm going to, you know, what I'm going to do and what have you. And I think the time she spent in the Ponderosa, I think she got she talked a lot to people, because when she came back and gave her final speech, you're right, she was 10 years older. And
I know.
And it was totally, you know, it was totally mind-boggling.
I was sitting there waiting for something weird or off the wall, and I was riveted. I really was surprised at how riveted I was when she spoke. David, I think you mentioned it earlier, but you guys talk a lot longer. Are they always edited? You're addressing the jury, the final three. Is it always edited down?
I don't know that it always is. I mean, mine was probably 15 minutes long. And
it was,
I like to talk. What can I say? they cut a lot of it down because I think I had obviously pre-prepared the whole thing much like I would work-wise. And I wasn't going to interrupt the flow of my presentation because a lot of it had been said before. But Natalie and Philip actually said a fair amount of what I was going to say. So I still went ahead and said that, but they obviously weren't going to cut down Natalie and Philip's speeches to allow me to say things.
Right.
They're obviously tailored because you have only so much time, and a lot of people say a lot of fluff. They're tailored.
So, David, and then Sarge, you can answer if yours was edited, but so they don't say, okay, jury members, now you can address, you only have 2 minutes, they basically let you go as long as you want?
Quite the opposite, yeah. I mean, not the opposite, but yeah, they, not revealing
they
too much
you
here.
To?
Well, not revealing too much here, but there's, I don't know how Stargis was, it may have been different then, but in mine, there was actually kind of a vetting process with the producers about what you're going to talk about. And
sure.
they had basically given me free rein to do whatever I wanted. They're like, we have confidence in you to talk. And my only caveat in doing that was that I told them I wanted to go last. Like, I'm going to go last, and trust me, I will give you a speech, but you have to let me go last.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm gonna do what I'm going to do, and, I mean, without being overly notice that I say overly obnoxious because I am inherently a little bit obnoxious. But you let me go last, and I'll give you a speech that you'll like. And
I would say we're more than willing to let you go last.
I'd like to think that I didn't disappoint.
Well,
I don't think you disappointed at all.
Go ahead, Sarge. What was your experience?
Well, I mean, mine was basically the same. The producers came around to the Ponderosa and said, "What are you going to say?" And I said, "Well, you know, how do you want it?" And they said, "We want you to speak freely." And so I told them what I was going to say, and they said, "Perfect. You know, say what you want to say." None of mine was edited because, I mean, and none of my season was edited. There was no time limit given. So basically, you know, everybody that said what they said was said on TV. I was close to the end. I don't know whether you know Jeff calls you, and I don't know whether it's because they know what you're going to say. Because when I stood up, you know, they knew I was going to blast Twyla for swearing on her son's life. You know, and that's exactly what I did. And so, everything I said was put on there, but they knew what I was going to say.
Okay, so aside from your own speeches, so you can't choose your own, who do
you think has
had the best speech at the end of Survivor? Who do you think has given, like, the best final speech?
Ooh. I mean, not being able to go back in my memory base. I mean, I lost a lot of my long-term memory after, you know, IED explosion, so I don't remember a lot of things back then. But this past season, I would have to say, Tarzan. You know, he brought everybody to their knees with his speech. I mean, the most sentimental speech of all time. We'll probably go to Tarzan, but as far as what they had to say, I go back to Sandra and the
Sue Hawk.
Yeah, Sue Hawk. Sue Hawk. You know, when she got up and said her speech, that was one of them. You know, that was, I think, one of the best I've heard.
I don't think anyone will ever forget Sue Hawk's speech.
No.
That, I mean, from season one, that was just the most memorable speech of all time. If you were on fire burning, I wouldn't spit on you.
I mean,
that was just one of the most memorable speeches of all time. That woman just laid out there. Vicious.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more that hers is up there. I mean, you gave me the exception that I cannot make my own the best, so I will say that hers was the best. What was it? The snake and the rat?
Right. The snake and the rat.
That,
if you were on fire, it wouldn't spit on you. Oh, my gosh.
I heard that, and it was like fist pounding on the table like, I love this woman.
One of my favorite questions that every fan has ever asked over the years of every Survivor is, did you really mean what you said? Because they always ask all the Survivors, did you really mean what you said? And I mean, and she told them all, you damn right I meant it. And it was so funny.
But the way she presented it was just untouchable. Like, I mean, it wasn't only good TV, but it was genuinely serious, like what Sarge was saying. Like, you damn right she meant it. There was no doubt from anyone, I think, at that time, that she was genuinely sincere with the hatred.
Oh, yeah. She was a truck-driving mama that, I mean, when she was saying it, it was coming from the depths of her, and she meant every word.
I cannot imagine what she would have to say about me.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, like I say, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people sit there and come up with things, and they're trying to, they want airtime, and you know, they want to say, but you know, there's a handful of survivors that when they got up there, you could tell, you know, they really meant what they, you know, what they're saying, because they, you know, they took the impression that they got from the show about people was, you know, was totally, you know, they never forgot it.
Right. So I always like to know a little bit, aside from Survivor, about the guests that we have on. And one of the questions I like to ask is, what other reality shows might you watch? Do you watch any other reality shows besides Survivor?
By choice or by force?
Well, I haven't actually had that put to me in that way, but I guess I'll say either.
Well, I happen to live with someone who has a unexplainable attraction to many reality shows. Many of the ones that aren't competition-oriented. Many of the ones that...
You must be talking about the Real Housewives or Mob Wives.
Oh, God, I've seen more of those than I need to. I've seen more Housewives and more episodes of TV shows involving the Kardashian family than I never, ever thought I would.
Gag.
Somehow I had a feeling you were talking about something like that.
There, you know, that's the explanation for why I drink the way that I do.
Well, I mean, as far as reality shows, I don't watch any of the family or the family ones that follow the families. My favorite, I mean, I have to admit, my favorite reality show is not Survivor. It's Hell's Kitchen, because
I love Hell's Kitchen.
I'm an amateur chef, and you know, I love that show. My family wants me to go on it, but I don't think I'm good enough. But Survivor, my family's been watching Survivor, so that's the one we all watch as a family. And then American Idol and Big Brother.
Yay!
Yay! We're huge Big Brother people here on the show.
Yeah, we get Big Brother, you know, after dark and all that.
Do you get the live feeds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get the live feeds on the internet. We get the Big Brother after dark on Showtime. And we tape it and then sit back and watch it.
Well, you should come on the show and help us with some of our shows that we do here on the Rad Reality Show. We have Michelle Costa, who does Manic Mondays, and then Michael Ellis Cowboy, or Michael Cowboy Ellis, does a show called The Roundtable, where, you know, we talk about Big Brother all the time on this show, and we bring on guests and talk about what's going on in the Big Brother house, and people can come on and talk about who their favorite is and who they think's going to get evicted and so forth.
Let me just interrupt here real quick, Cherry. Sarge, you can, you know, if it's not just you and your, if it's others in your family that love it, they can call in and join us. It doesn't have to be you, not to diminish you, but we love talking about Big Brother, so the invite is open, right, Cherry?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you and your family call in and join us. You could always join in on the round table and talk with Michael Ellis and join him, or Michelle Costa on Manic Mondays. Whichever one. One starts a little bit earlier than the other. One is an early evening show and one is a late evening show. So whichever, you know, suits your schedule better.
Okay.
Call in and talk Big Brother with us.
What do we do about the Amazing Race?
We do Amazing Race. We have Louis Stravato from season 16. He was one of the Rhode Island cops, if you remember them.
Yeah.
He does the Amazing Race shows with us on Sunday nights, and
that's Carolina's favorite, and she has been since we got together trying to persuade me that she and I should go on there, and I've said that it's a very bad idea.
You can call in and talk to us on that show as well.
Happy.
Yeah, we like that show as well.
That was the first one that I actually started watching religiously, and then You know, before I went on Survivor, I had never seen a single episode of it. I had watched The Amazing Race and Big Brother, and a friend of mine for a long time had joked that, you know, if Big Brother did one of these, like, friends going on it, he and I would make the application for it. And, you know, the joke is continuing to this day. And so he keeps calling me. He's like, so, you know people now. What are you going to do? You're going to get it. You're going to make it happen. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that I am contractually prohibited from that.
Yeah. Well, my son's been wanting us to go on Amazing Race together, but they already told me that it would never happen. So Krista told me that, you know, unless you're like a have a showmance or something, you'll never make it. So I just never even applied.
I don't know what it is, you know, that they let the people, like, you know, Jeff and Jordan and, you know, Rachel and Brendan. Why can't
can we
they
pause?
Let...
Can we pause for 1 second? Is she not the most annoying person in the world?
The most annoying.
Well, one of Carolina's friends actually knows her and is friends with her, and I'm speechless. I find her to be the most annoying person.
All right.
I've actually met her in person, and believe it or not, you're probably not going to believe me when I tell you this, but she actually is a really sweet girl. On TV, when she's in her competition mode, she's very annoying.
I've called people really sweet before, and I've meant that in a not very nice way.
Oh,
Rachel is a very sweet girl. When she's in her competition mode, she's on TV, she is, I will give it to you, she can be very annoying, and, you know, she has her moments where she just goes into full tilt. But
that's like when somebody asks the guy, what do you think about this girl? And you say she's a really nice person.
Yeah. He's a really nice guy. We could be friends.
Rachel is a really sweet girl. She's a sweetheart. She just is.
She's more than
you can handle on TV. But
she was fun to watch on Big Brother, though. I mean, she was entertaining on Big Brother, so that was the best part of it.
We do have Dog back on the line. Let's see if we can hear what he has to say.
Harry, can you hear me now? Hello?
Dog, we do have a good connection, I believe.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Well, I'd like to start off in the order that your guests got there. Dave.
Yes.
You mentioned early on about observing. And I think in Survivor, the objectivity, even when you're directly involved, you still have to be the third person looking in. And that helps you in your misdirection and your strategy planning and everything like that. Do you agree there?
I completely agree. In that sense, you have to set aside all emotion. And the biggest problem that I encountered was that I tried to do that, and for the most part, I did it fairly well. But the times that you saw me on TV get elevated, it was because I didn't squash the emotional aspect of it. And those were not only the moments that troubled me the most watching it, but in the game, those were the things that put me in a bad position, because I was in a tribe of people that didn't necessarily, 110% didn't think the same way that I thought.
That's true.
They were all so hung up on this concept of being a good person, and there were a number of them, and I won't name names, that had this preconception of attorneys. And I was automatically deemed to be a bad person because I'm in a profession that is viewed as a liar. And they viewed my profession as one where the object of what you do to make money is to lie, deceive, cheat, so on and so forth. And
that's true.
My problem with that is that everyone hates attorneys until you need one. Once you need one, you know, they're your safety net. And
that's very true.
It's, you know, I have a huge issue with that, not only in the course of the game, but in regular life. Like, people will make comments to that effect, and my issue with it is just that. You hate attorneys because you've never needed one, or because you didn't hire one when you should have.
I think I'm beginning to understand why Coach, I'm a personal friend of Coach, and I'm beginning to understand why he has such high opinion of you.
Coach is just an amazing guy. Like, Coach and I, you know, the moment we met, it was just, you know, we clicked. He got the way that I think. You know, I'm no BS. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm the nicest person in the world, but I'm going to tell you.
None of us are, let's face it.
Well, I will tell you everything that I think about you straight to your face, good or bad, and I won't look at you, and I won't. I won't have any less respect for you if you don't like what I say.
Yeah.
Dog, I really hate to tell you this, but we've got about 3 minutes till we have to close the show.
Okay, quickly.
So.
Can I say something to Marty?
Very quickly.
Marty, you...
No, Marty's
you
not
mentioned
here.
That.
Marty's
I'll
not here,
Marty.
Sarge is here.
Okay, Sarge. Well, I echo Coach in saying thanks for everything. Now, I talk with a guy in... who lives in Fayetteville, North Carolina, this morning on the phone, and he says he's corresponded back with you, and he was going to call in tonight, and I don't know if he did or not, but it's Skull Crusher. Is that name familiar with you, Sarge?
Yeah.
He's
retired
military?
Online it is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an active applicant for Survivor also, and some of the things that you mentioned tonight are identical with how Skull and I have talked on the phone, and we've been friendly for a good many years. But my favorite going into this season was Courtney, and but she went out right away. My favorite all time is probably Big Tom Buchanan, who was on Africa. I love
him. Yeah, everybody loves Big Tom. And anytime we go to an event, he is like the center of attention. He's like, he doesn't say anything special. He is just like, he opens his mouth and everybody just loves him.
And my least favorite, I'd probably have to go into the China season, the guy who is a male model or something like that. And he was the one that kind of took over and started picking up all the rocks to build a fireplace. You know, and was so, I mean, he was even worse than Matt was on this, on One World.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dog, I hate to do this,
like,
but we've got to cut this short, hon. We've got 2 minutes now, so I thank you so
Terry
much for
Paul,
calling, hon.
I'll talk to you when you come back.
Thanks
for the later
radio, and y'all take care.
Yeah. I thank you so much for calling in. We've had so much fun talking to you. It's been a real pleasure.
All right, now. Y'all take care.
You take care.
Thanks, Sarge.
Too.
Thanks,
thank
David.
You so much. David, thank
My
you.
Pleasure.
Sarge, thank you. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Well, I'm bored and I have nothing else to do, and now you're going to cut me off?
Oh, well, we've had a great time. We really have enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you
Heard
so
that,
much
David.
For calling in.
Anytime you want me back, let me know and I'll be there.
We'll certainly will. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Absolutely.
I'm going to close the show with Ron, as
Jerry.
I always do. Thank you all for joining us tonight. This is going to be a quick close because we are running out of time. Thank you all for being here with us tonight. And please come back Monday for Richard Hatch with Michelle Costa on Manic Monday.
Are you going
to
tell me I can't?
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
Thank you all for being with us tonight. Take care. Be kind to each other. This is the end of the season for Dragon Slayer Radio. We'll see you next season. Goodbye, everyone. Take care. God bless.